Ballad of Heartwork is a new series from The Heart is a Dungeon. Most of the story will be whimsical in nature, with moments of fear or sadness. Please take care of yourself and check the content warnings for each episode. And thank you so much for listening.
We see the end of the story. Not our story, but the story nonetheless. We see a world empty of all sentient life and the ruin of the largest city that anyone has ever dreamed. There is a long unkept promise, there is a name yet to be read aloud, and there is you. Not a god, not a mortal, but more of an idea. More of a season than an angel, and more like a star than a monster. You are either all that is left, or you are the beginning of something new. When we turn to your page and begin to read, where do we find you in this broken world, and what do we see when we close our eyes and see you?
It is like your eyes are already closed. There is no light here. Wherever we are, it is deep, deep within the Earth's crust. There's just remnants, bits of rubble, skeletons. The ghost of a light. Something that flickers but doesn't quite exist, not down here. And there's water. There is water everywhere because Tempest is everywhere. On her hands and her knees, her entire being filling up this space, slowly rising, growing, feeding, sucking up everything that is down here so it swells inside of her form. Tempest is a being of pure water. Looking like a humanoid woman, or she would if you could see her outlines, but she has pushed and pushed, and she has been here for so long. All she knows is that she must stay here. She has to stay here, and she must fill this space. And so she does. The way that she changes, at first, it's a simple breathe in. Breathe out. This place must be full. Water belongs here. She knows that. She can feel it in her soul. And as she grows more confident, the water rises more steadily. But then there's flickerings of doubt. Maybe this place wasn't for her, but for someone else. And she withdraws and the water sinks a little bit lower. But she thinks, and she thinks about all of the beings who are coming here, who are going to need this. Not just the people who will eventually fill this place once again, but all of the concepts, all of the not gods, all of her friends and her allies and her enemies. And in that knowledge and security, she rises again and keeps rising. And it is this dance, this push and pull of confidence and doubt, security and insecurity. Much like the moving of the tides. She goes in and out, but it is constant. And this childlike wonder that she used to have, this little spark, it's not there right now because she's not in the light. She is surrounded in darkness. She is alone, but not lonely. She doesn't feel lonely yet because she knows there are others. She just hasn't seen anyone in such a long time. I think there's a moment where she begins to see the light again. She has filled this chasm so deep, and she can just feel it. A little patch of warmth on her back. And she goes, I am done here. And so she digs her fingers into the bottom of the chasm and makes it deeper, fills it with grooves and tunnels, and pushes down into the earth a little bit, thinking, this is where I will stand. But before she goes, she has to leave something. Something down here in the deep and the dark where no one will ever find it. And so she pushes her hands deeper, bringing up dust and dirt, and she brings it all into herself. She holds it all. This place is meticulous. There is nothing left down here except what she decides to leave behind. And she withdraws her fingers from the tunnels and then begins to engrave on the bottom of the earth. And she begins to write names. The thing about Tempest is that every time she goes to a new world, she is like a phoenix in that way of she begins so small and she grows so old, she gets so big. She's always regenerating new pieces of herself. And here, it's not something that she will lose forever. Because it will stay here forever, and she knows this. She has this instinctive knowledge that she will begin again. Maybe she doesn't know how, and she doesn't know what she has given before, but she knows this. She knows that this is not something to be stripped away from her to never return. It is something that she chooses to give, thinking that the water will come again, the rain will fall again, she will be whole again. Not on this plane, but a different one. Not this planet, a new one, somewhere far away. And so knowing that it will come back, she gives it freely, like a drink of water to a guest in your home. And so she begins to carve these names. The people, the beings the forces of nature that will shape this world, like a credit scene. And she begins with Big, as she always does, and then her own name. And she reaches, and she reaches out, spreading her consciousness through all of the water into all of the places that she has left behind at this point, and reaches for the places she has not yet gone, but is connected to just by her presence in this world. And she begins to write all their names down in the deepest, darkest part of the oceans with her fingers. This is special to this world. It's special in that it feels new, but the world itself is not new. Looking and exploring, pushing herself through underwater caverns and caves, seeing crusted remains of things that feel so familiar. This was not the first time she has been to this world. As she explores and sees the places where she would make glorious waterfalls and swirling vortexes that would pull people under. And it's just so easy to wave her hand and make them happen again. It's like she put them there before. It's exactly her taste. It is exactly her design. In her heart or her soul, if she even has one, does she even have one? She feels like this place was once hers, was once Big's, was once Time's and connections and forgetting. The beings that have been here, that are here right now, they have all been here before, whether they know it or not. And if we are going to give this world a second chance, she believes we're giving this world a second chance. Their names deserve to be imprinted on the face of this world. That is what her feeling is right now. And that is why she has chosen to do this time. So if we come back again, if we try again, we know we were here before.
We know we were here before. And like an ambush of wonder in the distance, you see a massive ancient lighthouse resting somber at the bottom of the sea. The beacon is covered and eclipsed by coral and creatures as time and myth have taken root here. There is a slab of stone that stretches flat and smooth as far as the eye can see. Do you know what type of role you would like to make here?
I think this is a believe role. So I will be rolling believe because Tempest believes in her heart that we will come back and we need to know we were here. She believes in her heart, in her soul, if she has one. She believes that this work is important. Leaving a mark forever on the bottom of the world, just in case, is important. And so now I'm gonna roll. I rolled a 7. However, I have a +3, so that makes it a 10. There is a lighthouse at the bottom of the world. This lighthouse can't rust because it is so submerged. The pressure just stops anything from taking hold on this place. There is coral for a bulb, magentas and turquoise. It doesn't really light anything, it is too dark. The shadows eat any trace of light down here. But because Tempest wills it, it casts a shadow. And in the shadow, you can see etched in flat stone names. They could be names. I don't know if anyone would recognize this language, because this is the language of the beings that shape the universe. There are names, some short, some long, some that can't be written, and so are just pictographs of sound. And they trail out, getting longer and longer, lost into the darkness, blurring it at the edges in some places. But if somebody, somewhere, someday, can light this bulb, they will see, as the water presses down and pushes these names into the earth, the beings they have to thank for the life they got again.
Once upon a time, this cul-de-sac would be full of noise and crowd and busy and life. Now it is flat. The homes are barely structures. There is no garden. There are no sidewalks. There is just a shape of a neighborhood. And in the center of this cul-de-sac, a willow tree, petrified, no longer alive, not alive for so very long. Its bark taken on this pale beige color, not the deep, dark brown that it once had. No leaves in sight, but the branches still look ready, as if at any moment one could sprout. Looking at this abandoned, long-dead cul-de-sac from the top, we see this willow tree standing there, standing guard, and then a thump, another thump. From within its core, the thump echoes out, and that dry, brittle, petrified bark starts to flake and fly away until finally a boy tumbles out. A boy-ish thing. That deep, rich, dark wood color that the tree once was. Hair with bright green feathery leaves that dangle over his forehead and just into his eyes a little bit. And he tumbles out into the center of the cul-de-sac, all the way down the road, it seems, until he breaks his own fall. He stands up and looks around at the rubble. I didn't like that. Okay, this all. No, we can't have this. This isn't the way that I want this to be. He begins to run around the neighborhood, picking up bits of trash and compiling them into his lengthy, lanky, branch-like arms and holding them close to his wooden chest as he runs around and picks up little bits and bobs and rotted plants and things that have been dead so long they've become unrecognizable. He crumbles them into his arms, joyfully laughing, and then he stops at something he sees at the end of a driveway. A grill, perhaps? Maybe it was once. Its legs are rusted and pulled apart by vines. It lays awkwardly on its side with some ash inside. And he gets sullen and sad. He thinks, people used to laugh around this. People used to have food from this. And that ashen gray color starts to reappear on the wood of his skin for only just a moment before his color pops back. Nope. And he grabs it, piles it into his arm, and with all the other trash that he's accumulated, he starts to squeeze so hard that you think that he might pop, but he doesn't. Instead, everything in his arms suddenly compresses. And a giant seed he holds out. Oh yeah, that's better. Okay. And he runs to the nearest patch of earth and slams it into the ground. Okay, much better. And he runs around this neighborhood, quick to work, occasionally having more of those moments where something reminds him that this was a place that people loved and cared about. And we can't have that back. So we have to move forward. We can't have the old one. We have to have a new one. Each time the boy remembers what significance these items held, what they meant to the people and to the world that was before, there is a part of him that aches. A part that wants to be able to go backwards, to be able to rebuild things just exactly as they were and have the world back in place the way it was. But you can't do that. You can't have that. And the more that you want that, the harder it is to be okay and comfortable with the new one. The more you wish that things were the way they were, the harder it is to love the way they are. And we have to make a new place a good place, and we have to let people love it. We turn back, the boy looking behind him to survey the work. Did I plant some of those already? I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did. He looks back behind him and sees some of the seeds that he already plunged into the earth begin to sprout. All of them different. Perhaps one does look like the beginning of a tree sprout. But maybe another one that looks like a big fluffy cloud being inflated with air as it starts to float up from the seed it sprout from and drift off into the sky. Perhaps another thing is what appears to be the foundation for a new home growing in the center, rotted center of an old one. These things are just old things, dead things that need to become new. And he's just helping them do that. What was I doing? I don't like that. As he runs over to see a new pile of trash and crumple it up into his arms. A collection of rotted, potted plants and rubble from what was perhaps a paved driveway, crumpled into a seed. He looks at it and, what was that? Doesn't matter. And stuffs it into the ground. These things become what they need to become. If he could influence it, if he does, he doesn't know. And if he put a thought into it, he's already forgot what it was.
It is so easy to believe in how things are when you don't have any expectation of who or what you expect them to be. Does this garden follow the path of your meandering, or do you focus on like a single bed or area of soil until it is completed?
It would be smart to have a plan. He's thought that before. Probably 100 times. It would be smart to have a plan. Every time I try, though. So we just keep going. We just keep planting, keep collecting. Have I done this? He glances behind him to see the entire road to the cul-de-sac full of sprouting things. Oh, good job. Okay. And he moves on, traipsing further down the road. We all need to take breaks. Everyone should, and I'm no exception to that. I live and I walk and I work very hard, I think. Probably. Have I? Yes, good job. Okay. I do. I have to nap eventually. And he finds at the end of a very long day, roads and roads, neighborhoods filled with seeds. He finds a spot to rest under a regular tree, one of the first real lush trees that he's planted just this very day. He lies underneath it at its base and takes a nap. Dreaming is hard because dreams are often wants, and wants are very hard because sometimes you just can't have them. Dreaming is a place where he remembers things. But the great thing about a dream is that when you wake up, it's gone. And he wakes up for a second, that same ashen gray color back to the bark. Just lingering there for a second until the color pops back as he pops up. Oh, that's a lot of trash. I don't like that. And he continues to run around, gathering up the remnants and popping them into seeds. I think at the end of another long day, it's time for him to take a nap again. And when he lays down, whatever he would create asleep in his dreams when he is mourning and remembering, it would be wrong. It would be something that doesn't come from him and what he believes and what he embodies. He has to create while he is forgetting. I think that something that he's been idly doing as he's been collecting trash, making it into these chunky little seeds, planting them in the dirt and moving along his way. I don't even think that he's noticing that he's doing it, but along the way somehow he started to just shuffling with his branchy little feet, kicking little bits of dirt and dust and items and debris that have started to roll and collect and form like a Katamari kind of situation. And it is becoming larger. And I think that, like, as he continues to do this, not even really intending, or not that he is aware he's intending to do, just idly creating this bigger and bigger thing. And this has started to take on the shape of a very, very large seed. He doesn't know what he intends it to be, but whatever this is, once it is planted, oh, it's gonna be big. grow is my plus three. So that's going to be a 9. So at the end of several long days of joyful hard work, he looks down. Oh. Did I make that? I must have. And he picks up with both hands a giant seed that looks a little bit like an acorn would, the kind of seed that has a nice little cap. And he thinks to himself, I should get a cap. On this seed, turning it over, he pops the cap open, lifts it, and looks inside. And inside, floating all around it, are these little wisps of memory. Lives lived, and jokes that were told, and losses, and grief, and playfulness, and pets, and loved ones, and good food. And all of it just kind of swirls around. And he reaches in a branch-like arm and gives it a little swirl, like he was stirring a soup pot. And instead of seeing all of these things drifting around in the acorn shell in their individuality, they start to swirl and mix. And when he lifts his branch arm out of it, it is just that. It is soup. It is memory soup. And he closes the cap and he shovels it into the dirt.
The sound of soil breaking, splitting, willow trees rising from the ground into the air above, but they do not sway in the breeze, in the wind, and one day these marble willow trees, this canopy made from stone, root of emerald, will grow sturdy and strong, a forest of minerals. And one day, the artists will create stories here with chisel, with hammer, for those mortals who also forget and can always use a reminder of the work required and deserving to create something permanent with room to grow.
Turns around to check to see if he's been working, and did I do that? I must have done that. That one's interesting. He'll approach it. That strange, distant look comes back to his eyes, that ashen color back to his bark. No, I shouldn't. And he turns around, that ashen color lingering for a bit of a mournful sadness and a bit of extra weight to his feet as he forces himself to take the first couple steps away until, oh, that's a lot of trash. I gotta get that. And he becomes himself again.
We see smoke clearing, the sounds of battle fading, And in the background, the bone-to-bone click of dice as we look to one another here around this table surrounding where our story took place. Our imagination easily gets the best of us because we use Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. They also offer downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home for when reinforcements are certainly needed. Hero Forge is adding new items to the catalog every week so that the tavern will always have that mysterious guest. And with subscriptions starting at just $3.99, you'll have everything you need with Hero Forge at heroforge.com. Hey there, Sky Darling. Why don't you set your broken heart down and let me tell you about Orbital Blues Month. This beloved and fantastic game from Soul Muppet is truly the hero that we deserve, as they are blessing us with even more content from some of the most wanted outlaws in the Orbital Blues third-party publishing space. From new adventures and factions to mechanics and audio dramas, the universe will never feel more alive or groovy. Orbital Blues Month is a group collaboration on BackerKit launching April 1st, and if you back multiple projects, there's even a limited edition cassette you can get your grubby swan song hands on. Orbital Blues is one of the most streamlined and replayable beautiful systems out there, and it's about time it had a month all to its own.
Hey campers, have you heard of Season 5 of 5 Jams in a Trenchcoat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice, green, natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes, in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of three childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes 2nd edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first three episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think I've ever been to the beach before. He remarks as he steps foot into the sand, hundreds of beaches in his past behind him. He runs out, kind of like scooping up the sand and rocks and feeling it with his branchy little hands. I think this can stay. But he looks up and sees all of the things that have fallen to bits around here. A lifeguard stand with broken legs that has sort of crumbled into pieces, separated onto the beach, bits of it even still floating in and out with the waves. There are items that belonged to people, clearly little personal things that were left behind someday and just never went anywhere. Towels and toys and shovels, and at the far end, that is going to be a lot of work. A giant Ferris wheel on its side, tipped over, waves crashing around it, sand having piled up into some of the carriages, and rust having torn apart bits of the metal. For now, though, he turns to the smaller things. The lifeguard stand, the toys, the shovels, and starts to carry them up and around.
The water moves. It laps up waves, grabbing a few bits of the trash and pulling them out to the ocean before you can grab them. The water is alive. It has always been alive, as long as you've been standing on this beach, as long as you can remember. At least. And I don't know whether forgetting would notice until the light changes and begins to ripple and dance across the sand. But there is a swishing and a swirling. And if he were to look up, he would see towering higher than the tallest skyscraper in the city, a woman. All tides, her insides floating with debris, a tiny shovel that you had gone to pick up and missed because the waves took it before you could. Dancing in amongst shipwrecks and skeletal, like fish shadows. And Tempest looks at you and she watches. She just watches you work.
He continues to work, perhaps just thinking for a while that maybe it's become evening quicker than he remembered it becoming at this hour, until after a few seeds are made and planted, he turns to address the Ferris wheel, but instead gets caught by the vision of you. Oh, hi. Were you there before? Did I say hi to you already? I do that sometimes. I'm sorry. I didn't catch your name. Did you say it? If you didn't say it, then I probably didn't catch it because you didn't say it. But if you said it and I just forgot, I'm sorry. I know that that's a thing that I can do. Hi. Though.
Tempest regards forgetting. And this is interesting, because water has memory. This is true. But I don't think Tempest would remember this form. And so my question for you, what has forgetting looked like in the past?
He dreams in these forms sometimes, but otherwise he would never have remembered them. But he's been a couple of things, many things. He's been a newborn puppy. He's been a single raindrop, the first to fall out of a brand new cloud. He's been so many little things over so many, many, many years. I think that the first time that he met Tempest, he was a little girl of unburnt charcoal.
And when Tempest looks at forgetting, it takes a moment. Her massive head cocks to the side, and you can see a sea turtle covered in like fans of coral just swirling around like an active thought, an act of remembering. All of these forms standing in front of her, semi-translucent, layered over your current visage. She says to you in a voice that sounds like the whispers of a waterfall. Hello, forgetting. I am Tempest. It's a pleasure to see you again.
Tempest. That's a fun name. Two T's. Two T's on the end. It's like It's got a good shape. It feels good in my when I say it. It's like tempest. So good. Very fun to meet you. I notice you have some trash in your water there. Do you want me to take care of that for you? I could take it. I'm kind of doing it anyway. I'm doing a thing. I don't know if I've started yet today. And he turns around. Oh, I did a lot today. Tempest, I could do that though before I think I've got a couple more hours in me. So if you want me to take that off your hands or, you know, out of your water or whatever, I could do it.
Tempest smiles. And she looks down and regards her form. And all of these things that she brought from the bottom of the ocean. Not knowing why she carried them with her other than to keep it clean where she had been. And she nods and makes a little shooing motion for forgetting to move back.
Stumbles backwards, turns around, forgets what he was about to do, and gets distracted by a little rubber ball and starts kicking it around the beach.
Tempest smiles, and there's a laugh like a bubbling brook as she moves over to the pier with the carnival. And you see for the first time her legs, which were fully submerged at this point. And she grows taller, takes a deep breath, and clouds begin to form. Not harsh, not angry, wispy things. Things that take on the shape of what she is dropping as her size begins to decrease. You hear like crashes and thumps as she releases everything that she has been carrying up until this point, knowing that in this space she will create a new kind of fun with her friend who she hasn't seen in so long. She could almost forget the last time that she saw him. And she lets it all go, surrounded by all of the things the ocean wanted to forget, making rainbows appear on all of these surfaces as the sun shines through her. She finds a bench, and she waits for forgetting to come and find her again.
It's almost to the end of the day before he sees you again and thus remembers that you were there. And it's because he's grown tired. It's been a long day. That Ferris wheel was a lot. But when he turns to find the bench and sees you, oh, you're still here. Oh, that's great. I didn't think you left. I just forgot to think about where you were for a second. Is there room? Can I sit? I'm sleepy.
Tempest nods, and she takes a tattered bit of, like, white striped cloth and lays it down on the bench next to her and gestures for you to curl up.
He does. He curls up on the bench next to Tempest and doesn't close his eyes right away. Just, I had a very long day, I think. Did you have a long day? Do you care about days? Do you sleep? If I have asked this before, that's okay. I might have just forgotten. I it's not because I don't care. It's just because, I forget.
I know. It's okay. The days are long, as are the rivers and the waterfalls, as is the beginning of new things. But it's been a nice day, a lovely day. Your work is beautiful. You should sleep.
Tempest speaks so kindly to Forgetting as he starts to drift off, his eyes still looking towards the beach as she speaks to him, and particularly to the pile of things that he has yet to turn into a seed that he had been gathering but just got too tired to finish. It was such a long day. Your voice is so calm and kind and warm. And before you've even finished, his eyes start to close and he starts to drift away, just kind of murmuring, "It's good to see you," and falls right to sleep. I think I want to roll feel for this in particular, because I think this particular group of things that he's collected, it wasn't just that he got tired when gathering them. He was tired, but they felt extra heavy for some reason. I think these things made him feel a little too much, and it was just a little too much at the end of a very long day, and that's why he couldn't quite finish this job. That is just a 10. Okay. The pieces of trash at the base of the bench are unlike most of the piles of trash that forgetting has been turning into the seeds. Normally, it is bits and bobs that are unrelated to each other. Bits of actual garbage, rusted toys, and driftwood that he forms together into something unrelated and new. This, when we zoom in on it, a sign hand-painted and was probably once very, very beautiful. The colors all bright and joyful and loud, and the font of this hand-drawn text is wiggly and fun, inviting people to the carnival, an entryway sign that once stood just outside of the entryway to that Ferris wheel that he had spent all afternoon and most of the evening collecting and turning into seeds. Welcome to Fun City is what it would have said. Now it lay in many, many different pieces. And he, whether he meant to or not, he doesn't remember, but they lay there in the sand, spread out as if he could just push them back together and make the sign a sign again.
As forgetting falls asleep, Tempest looks down at him, oh so fondly, like a mother regarding a child, even though they are not related. Or maybe they are in some distant cosmic family tree that we don't get to see. And she thinks back to every single world that they have come into contact with each other. Some that succeeded, some that failed, some that they were full of hope would start anew, but something went wrong, and she is weighed down with that memory, and thinks about how blissful it might be to forget. And she regards it for so long. The moon is high in the sky. Everything has started moving again, moving forward. We have to keep moving forward. She knows forgetting understands that, and she knows it too. She just once strokes the leaves on its head with one hand and reaches for the sign with the other. And in that moment creates a bond between herself, water with memory, the ability to forget, the ability to create something new and full of hope. And as she grabs the sign with that other hand, so large, compared to his small branch-like ones. She begins to create a seed for him to plant when he wakes. And she focuses so hard. Water channels, we know this. But it's not always easy to dig through and create a new space. But she tries and she focuses, and I am going to roll with shape. So I rolled a 7. I'm going to use, you can create the desire to change, but it is flawed. And so she creates a seed. It is not perfect by any means, but she has done what she needs to do to create the thing that she knows will help the people who come here in the future, the thing that they are going to need. And she looks down at Forgetting, fast asleep, and pauses. Tempest never sleeps. And where she spent that time waiting, she feels it in her spirit that she has to move on again. And she could wait. But if we're being honest, he won't remember saying goodbye anyway. So she stands up and begins to walk, and you hear the drips through the slatted boards of the pier as she begins to walk into the city. 10 foot, 12 foot, 15 foot, 20 foot, growing in size once more as she soaks up the ambient water, as the clouds that she had formed begin to return to her body, growing in size and disappearing into the city, again hidden by the buildings. But it's okay, because she remembers what happens here, and if she meets Forgetting again, she can always tell him.
Forgetting, in that like halfway between asleep and awake, where dreams are still alive for just a moment, as he's opening his eyes, Tempest? And then he opens them. He sits up and sees before him an enormous structure, bright and colorful and beautiful. A ladder that climbs all the way up to the tip top of a beautiful slide. Water from where? No idea, but it's pouring down the center of this slide, making it wet and cool and just so inviting. He stares at it for a minute with a head cocked to the side and goes, huh, well, I think that can stay. I don't need to get rid of that one. But I better check. And he just like climbs his way up to the top of the slide and slides his way down. Now for Forgetting, when he is viewing the world, every little bit of trash, all of the old and dead that he sees is an intense burden to him. If this were a regular slide, from the top of it, he would see so much trash and it would wreck him. He wouldn't be able to pull himself to sit and go down it. But here at the top, he looks out and he sees it all, and that's fine. I guess that's fine. And he sits down and slides, and it feels like minutes. It can't possibly be, but it feels like he's on it for such a long time, feeling the sea salt breeze in his leaves as he rides all the way down to the bottom. There's a moment of this bright, relaxed feeling in him that is so quickly interrupted by, oh my God, that's a lot of trash. And he runs and scurries away to finish the job on this beach.
We close the book just for now. There is still such a long ways left to go. There's still so much heart work left to attend to if we hope one day to resemble a place that one could call a home. Thank you for tuning in to The Heart is a Dungeon for this episode of The Ballad of Heartwork. Let's meet our incredible guests. It seems I have forgotten your name. Do you have one?
I'm pretty sure I'm Dylan. I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere. I'm Dylan Apelian, or Super Dylan, if you're finding me online. I'm a game designer and actual play performer. I am so proud to be here.
Tempest, do you have a name? Who are you? Is your name Moist?
Ah, Jesus. Oh, God.
Wow, Taylor.
You can keep this part in the final recording. Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor Navarro. I use she, her pronouns. I am a game designer, project manager, and chief of staff. Find me on Blue Sky at TaylorAnnNX. There's one more N than you think there is. And it has been wonderful. Thank you so much for having me back, Rara.
And I'm Rara. But that's enough about that.